That's what it's all about, is Calvary and what Calvary did for us. Matthew 15, if you find your place in the Word of God, we'll be in the middle of the chapter. If you'd stand with me, if you're able to, as we read the Word of God, Matthew chapter 15. And though we're preaching about a woman of great faith this morning, the application is for all of us here today and the principles that God gives us here in the Word of God. Matthew 15, verse number 21. Matthew 15, verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. And we're going to look at that thought this morning. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence. And so we read here this story, this account of a woman of great faith. And we read here that she received on behalf of her daughter what she requested. And the principle that we'll examine here this morning is a principle that applies in so many areas. And we need some men and women and boys and girls of great faith. Some that will just simply take the Lord Jesus Christ at His word and will believe the Lord for great and mighty things. And I think if we're going to see a change in our nation, a change in our homes, a change in our families, and a change in our communities, it's going to have to begin right here where this woman started. We'll look at this morning. If you'll join me, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you pray, ask God to have His way in this service, and let us take just a moment to yield our hearts unto Him here this day. Father, thank You this morning for this privilege here to come to this place on this Mother's Day and open the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the freedom that You have given unto us, and we do not take this lightly. Lord, we need You today. We need to hear from heaven. There are many needs in this audience today. There's some here this morning hurting. There's some here this morning that came with a load, a burden. Lord, it's a load and a burden that only You can carry. Help us this morning to cast all our care upon You, for You care for us. Lord, there's somebody here today that maybe has a daughter, a son, a grandchild, a loved one. It's a very difficult circumstance, being grievously vexed. And Lord, help us this morning to have the kind of faith that this woman had. Have Your way today in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. You know, as you're seated today, just give a couple of thoughts here, an introduction. And we have recorded here wonderful account. It's one of my favorite stories to use on Mother's Day, but a woman that had great faith. And all woman, great is thy faith, the Lord said of this woman, commended by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the faith of this woman is recorded here in the Word of God for every generation that we might read it here today. Here's a woman that came to Jesus and received what she came to Jesus for. Was really given a blank check and received from the Lord Jesus Christ the healing of her daughter. I want you to see just a couple of thoughts. Look in verse number 21, and it reads, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. I know it appears in our account that the Lord ignored this particular woman, but I think it's interesting that he left where he was and he came to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And nothing by our Lord is by accident. And I believe he had a purpose in going to that very location. I believe his purpose was for this very woman. And you go to verse number 29, after this woman had received from the Lord that which she came to the Lord for, it reads, and Jesus departed from thence. So we read, he came to that location, not by accident. This woman met him. I believe the Lord knew this was going to happen. He appeared to ignore this woman, but he knew the heart of this woman, and this woman received her miracle, and then Jesus left on that day. He departed from thence after the woman received what she came for. Now, the thing that strikes me about this particular account and this miracle is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, O woman, great is thy faith. And I see the need today for that kind of faith. It's the kind of faith that she would get what she came for, she would get what she wanted, and the Lord responded to her because of that faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. The Lord gave to this woman that day a blank check, and we read in verse number 28, her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, it was faith that moved God to action. You'll see this throughout the Word of God, and you'll read of many women of faith and men of faith in the Bible. I think of Moses and his mother, Jochebed, and by faith, the Bible says of Moses that she saw he was a good child and hid him. And I believe in faith she's looking forward to what God is going to do through Moses. And Moses became the great deliverer of the children of Israel. And we know by faith that Sarah received a child in her old age when she was beyond childbearing years. God gave to Abraham, to Sarah, Isaac. And Isaac becomes that son of promise that God would give the promises and eventually lead to the Messiah. It was by faith. By faith, Hannah conceived and gave birth to Samuel. Samuel becomes a mighty prophet to God. You'll find by faith, mountains are moved, and by faith, nations are changed. Nations changed. By faith, homes and families are put together again. By faith, God is pleased. And I'm just thinking as I read through this account, as we preach through this account this morning, may God give to Valley Bible Baptist Church some mothers of faith, grandmothers of faith, just like this woman. And may God give to this church some men and women of faith that know how to pray, know how to get a hold of the throne of God, know how to make an impact upon the lives of young people today. And oh, how we need today godly young people to rise up to the dark hour. And I don't believe it's going to happen until God gets a hold of some hearts and men and women, boys and girls, by faith, move the hand of God. May we see the hand of God in our children and our grandchildren today. May we see God deliver from the devil as this young girl was delivered from the hand of the devil. May God raise up a godly seed. That's the need for today. May God raise up laborers for the harvest field today. I've said much about this recently, but just speaking to pastors, I know of many churches here in the state of New Mexico that need pastors right now. And I know of many towns and villages that need a church planter. I heard from a pastor recently, I may have made mention of this already, but in Wisconsin, a particular pastor said he knows of 16 independent Baptist churches that need a pastor right now. And may God raise up in answer to prayer laborers for the harvest field and a generation that is prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Study history. History tells us of women of faith who saw God raise up their children. I love the account of John and Charles Wesley. And we know the background, Susanna Wesley. I love the story of Hudson Taylor, who had a mother of faith, and in answer to the faith of this mother, Hudson comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God raise up some mothers like that that would change literally the course of history by their prayer life, by their faith. Now, this morning what we're going to do is examine what made the faith of this woman so great. What was it in her life that caused such an impact? And the principles that we find are principles that anybody here in this audience today can put into application. As I look at the faith of this woman, as Jesus commented, O woman, great is thy faith, and a couple of things that we would see of this woman's faith. And first thing that comes to mind here, would be the object of her faith. See, this woman knew where to go. And so evidently she hears of Jesus coming to this particular region. And this woman, knowing of Jesus, having heard no doubt the stories of Jesus and the accounts of the healing miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, when this woman saw that Jesus was in her area, she had a deep need. She had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. And so she came to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 22. And it says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying," so she brought her burden to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are to cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. There's no load or no burden that you will bear that the Lord does not already know about and does not already care about. I believe before this woman ever came to Jesus, Jesus knew of this need. And I believe because he knew of this need, Jesus went to this region to meet with this this particular event. And so this woman brought that burden to Jesus. And can I say this morning, that ought to be the first place that we go for any need, is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is kind of part of the problem we're having today. See, we've got a great need in our nation. We've got a great need amongst our children and amongst our young people today. But in our modern world, many are grievously vexed. And we're living in a world where a lot of people are suffering from depression and suicidal thoughts and addictions and sinful habits. And that seems to be the case throughout the nation today. And we've read of COVID, how that has expanded these suicidal thoughts and depressions amongst many young people today. And so for many, the thought is, I've got a need. I've got an individual grievously vexed. And the first thought is, I've got to get them to a counselor. Maybe the counselor is going to say some magic words that all of a sudden is going to make everything better again. Or the thought is, maybe I need the psychologist or the psychiatrist, and maybe they can go to the root and solve the issue or the problem. Or maybe the doctor can prescribe a medication and medicate the problem. And that often becomes addictive and simply covers over the real root and symptoms and source of the problem. What did the woman do? See, she went to Jesus. And that ought to be the first place that we go. See, it's the Word of God and Jesus that really has the answers and the principles of God's Word. And I'll say this morning. There's no problem but what you face, but what the Word of God does not have the answer for it. And but what Jesus cannot give the answer for that. And that ought to be the first place that we turn, is to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the principles of the Word of God and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Pastor, that's so simple." I know. It's very simple. And that's just the problem. It's the simplicity of the gospel sometimes that we miss out on. It's the simplicity of turning where we ought to turn and finding the answers that we ought to find. So this woman knew where to go. But not only did she know where to go, she knew how to come. And she came to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility. And as you read on, and she approached the Lord Jesus in verse number 22, her first words, "Have mercy on me." You'll notice with that her daughter's problem had become her own problem. And how many a mother would gladly take the burden from a troubled child and bear that burden for them? And it appears this was the heart of this mother. Have mercy on me. She's so identified with the root and the problem of her daughter. Have mercy on me. And so she came with her burden to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's asking from the Lord mercy. She's not asking from the Lord what she deserved. But she's asking for mercy. And it's evident that she understood that the Lord is holy and I am sinful. And Lord, I don't deserve this, but Lord, have mercy on me. That's the heart of which she approached the Lord. And she approached the Lord honestly. She was absolutely honest with the Lord. And she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Lord, I've got a big need. I've got a big problem. And I need something from you that is beyond what I deserve. For if you give me what I deserve, I'm in a mess. But Lord, be merciful to me." That's the approach. And so you can see in this, her faith was a great faith. It's not because it was anchored in herself or her ability. not what she could muster up, but the object of her faith. Her faith was great because the object of her faith was great. And the problem is today, many times, the object of our faith is ourself or what we can do or what we muster up or how good we can be. The object of our faith must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because the Lord was the object of her faith, she was able to trust in His promises. She was able to trust His character. She knew that He was a merciful God. She was able to trust His ability. See, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Is anything too hard for God? Yeah, she's got a big problem. She's got a big need. But her problem is nothing for a God that could speak the universe into being. A God that could make everything from nothing. And so the object of her faith is none other than the God of this universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that can do anything at any time. That's the object of her faith, and it's a great faith because of the object of that faith. Now, I think also her faith is a great faith because we can see the obstacles of the faith that were overcome. Biblical faith is always going to be tested. You can mark it down. I'll give you a quote here from Charles Spurgeon. He said, "Great faith makes crooked things straight. Great faith sees light in the midst of darkness. And great faith gathers comfort out of discouragement." And you can see that so clearly in the heart and life of this woman. See, this woman needed no encouragement for her faith. In fact, as she came to the Lord Jesus Christ and approached the disciples, she received just the opposite, discouragement. Her trust in Christ overcame all of the obstacles that she would endure. Now, let's look at a couple of the obstacles. There's the obstacle of her background. Now, the Bible's very clear as this woman came to Jesus. The Bible said a woman of Canaan. We know that she was a Syrophoenician by nation. So this woman was not a Jew. This woman had not been raised under the principles of God's Word. Most likely had not been around the synagogue. Syrophoenician, understand, a Canaanite. The Canaanites were the idolatrous nation that had been cast out of the region when God gave this land to Israel. So she was a part of this idolatrous, cursed nation. She did not have the privilege of being raised under the teachings of the Word of God, raised in a Christian home, as we might say, around the blessings of God and the blessings of that Christianity. That's her background. That's an obstacle. Let me make an application. It's an honor to grow up in a Christian home. Thank the Lord for the young people we have at Valley Bible Baptist Church. Thank God for the parents and grandparents that you keep your children here in church under the privilege, under the blessing of the Word of God. Thank God for a home where you open up the Bible, you have family devotions, you have devotions and prayer in the home. Thank the Lord for that kind of a home. And if you have that kind of a home, you have a great advantage. And be grateful for that kind of a home in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Thank the Lord for that privilege. That ought to lead to great faith. But understand something, not all that have great faith have come out of that privilege, as did this Phoenician woman, this Canaanite woman. This woman testifies that one can have great faith in God even if they did not have the great privilege of a Christian home. See, God will bless all that come to Jesus Christ. And you can find that many have been mightily used of God who had horrible circumstances, horrible backgrounds, but they never made that an excuse. They turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord did wonderful things through them, as is the case of this woman. God will bless all that turn in faith to Jesus Christ. See, He's a God not only to the Jew, but to the Canaanite. And we find in heaven, I love the account as we've been preaching through the book of Revelation, there will be people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue that will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessing, the obstacle of her background. But you notice also the obstacle of the difficulty. she's got a daughter. And as she described this, grievously vexed. It's a big problem. Grievously vexed. I'm just picturing a girl, young lady, that maybe is very depressed, very discouraged, maybe a daughter that is kind of out of it, a daughter that maybe is very mean, a daughter that is back-talking, a daughter that is rebellious, a daughter that's far away. It's a big problem. And that's an obstacle. But again, we mentioned she's got a big God, the object of her faith. And the big God that she's coming to is not bigger than her problem. Or is bigger than her problem. And so she's willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ despite that obstacle of the difficulty. And can I say that there's no problem that you have, there's no difficulty that you face about what God doesn't care about it and what God cannot intervene in it and what God does not want to be a part of that. And God is a mighty God. And the difficulty of your problem can be overcome when you understand how big God is. But as we read through this, there's also the obstacle of the discouragement from others. Look at this in verse 23. It's really an amazing account here. As she came to Jesus, he answered her, not a word. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was silent. Appeared to ignore her. Appeared that he didn't care. You know, that in itself would be a tremendous discouragement. Sometimes you might bring your need, your problem to the Lord, and it appears that the Lord doesn't hear, or that he's not interested, or that he simply ignores you. Maybe, and I believe this is the case with this woman, it may be that he's simply testing you, testing the situation. In verse number 23, not only did the Lord appear to ignore her, but his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She crieth after us. They saw her as a burden. And sometimes as we seek the Lord, there will be those that misunderstand and even seek to send us away from the Lord or discourage us in what we're doing. How many people quit at this point? I was thinking many years ago, I was visiting in a housing unit the area, and I saw a young man that I had recently witnessed to in the past. In fact, he had come to church, I think, to a VBS, witnessed to this young man, and had a very good relationship with him. He was interested in the things of God at that particular time, and I saw him in the housing area, and he was with some friends. Now the story was a little different. As I first approached him, he was very friendly to start with, but the friends began to mock, and then he had to join in with the friends. And they were acting cool, began to mock him. When he showed that interest, he backed away, and what I saw is the discouragement that came from the friends. I guarantee you, when you step out for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be somebody that will try to discourage you from following the Lord. Here are the disciples of all people. We would think they would understand, Lord, send her away. She's crying after us. She's a nuisance. She's bothering us. We don't want to have to listen to this cry. Send her away. And yet she persisted despite that discouragement. Look in verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When the Lord finally responds, it's a negative word from the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a Canaanite. Jesus tested her a step further. Stop this woman here, but here he tests her out just a bit. Verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. See, she never disagreed with him. She never argued with him, but she came to him and persisted despite his words. In verse number 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, here Jesus is referring to her as a Gentile, and the Jews would often refer to the Gentiles as a Gentile dog. And he mentions here that the children at the table, that was the Jews. And he said, I'm not sent but to the Jews or to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and not right to feed the food prepared for the children, to the dogs. That's kind of the approach, it appears, the Lord has taken. Does he really care? I believe he does. He's testing the woman. In verse number 27, notice her response. She said, "Truth, Lord. Yes, you're right. I'm a Gentile. You're right. I don't deserve this. You're right, Lord." Yet notice this faith and the overcoming of this obstacle and the discouragement. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This woman seemed to understand Jesus in a way that very few people understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, she knew that her problem was nothing for a God that made the universe. Her problem was nothing for a God that had calmed the sea, had healed the sick. Her problem was nothing for that God. And really, as you understand the aspect of her faith, "Lord, all I need from you is just a crumb." The crumbs fall from the children's table. The dogs, they sit around that table. They eat the crumbs. And "Lord, I'm that dog that you've talked about, but I'm willing to be at the feet, at the table, and I'm willing to eat the crumbs. That's all that is necessary, just some crumbs. And that's sufficient for my daughter." You see, in healing her daughter, she knew there would still be plenty for the children. The children would not suffer by what she did or what she received of the Lord. And so I believe in this light, the Lord then in verse 28 answered and said unto her, "Great is thy faith." See, true faith is overcoming faith. There were the obstacles of her faith, but her faith overcame the obstacles. And we read on the obtaining of her faith. She obtained the favor of Christ. I love those words. Verse 28, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, Jesus was blessed by her faith. Jesus was pleased with her faith. And Jesus drew attention to her faith, to those that were around. And do you realize the testimony of her faith lives on for us today? And we have it recorded here in the Word of God for us, for future generations. Hebrews chapter 11. We've often referred to that as the faith chapter of the Bible. We read in Hebrews 11 verse 1, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But it says, "For by it," by faith, "the elders obtained a good report." In Hebrews 11 verse number 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We have in Hebrews 11 the testimony of those that please God by their faith. And the Lord calls attention to their faith. He speaks of Abel, who offered to God an excellent sacrifice. It pleased the Lord. He did so by faith. He calls attention to Enoch, who walked with the Lord in a wicked world, and it pleased the Lord. And he calls attention to Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the faith of Noah pleased the Lord, who prepared an ark to the saving of his household. And he calls attention to the faith of Abraham, who received a son in his old age. And it pleased the Lord because they simply trusted a big God to do the impossible. And the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased by the faith of this woman. He calls attention to her faith. And then I like this statement here. She obtained the blessing of the Lord. Look at verse 28 again. This blank check. "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." Because of your faith, I'm going to give you what you came for. Even as you will. And the Bible goes on to say, "And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Her daughter was now sane, in her right mind. The devil had to leave that girl alone. The big bully had to flee because there was one bigger than the bully. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the faith of this woman, the Lord said, "Devil, get away, leave that girl alone." And the Lord intervened. Now, the Bible doesn't expressly say this, but I think we're going to see that woman in heaven. I think that woman is putting her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think we'll probably see that woman's daughter. I think we'll be able to pull up a screen television, and we'll be able to get the account and see all of this as it happened and the work of God, the miracle of God, because here's a woman that believed the Lord for the impossible. So here's a daughter that is made whole physically, spiritually, emotionally. I want to give a thought to you this morning, just kind of in closing. You realize the blessings that could be known if we simply trusted the Lord? If we only believed as did this woman? You can read the accounts throughout the Word of God of those that received great blessings by their faith, how the Lord intervened, how the Lord helped. The Lord said in Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The Bible teaches that if we pray according to the will of God and we pray under the hand of God, led by the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no end to what God can do. Now, there's somebody here today that needs to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's somebody here today that if you died or if Jesus came back, you're not going to heaven. I think about Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. There was great conviction. Peter gave these words that shall come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the Lord, or Peter, directed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, Paul was in prison. And the jailer, under conviction, cried out, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. There's somebody here today that needs to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're lost. You're a sinner. You're on the road to hell. And if you this morning would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no end to what could happen. He can forgive that sin. He can put that past behind you. He can give you a new beginning. Him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. I read about a revival in Africa in 1950. There was deep conviction of sin. There was a sense of lostness. And in that sense of lostness, men and women and boys and girls were turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. If we had this morning some mothers and fathers and praying church members, we would see that. We would see the conviction. The answers for our world today are not that big. It's just Jesus. And it's the Word of God and the principles of God's Word that are needed. Somebody needs to exercise faith for salvation. Somebody this morning ought to exercise faith for deliverance. The old devil is doing a good job in vexing people today. He's a thief, he's a liar, he's pretty good at vexing people. Some under bondage, oppressed and addicted, discouraged. And you know, I think of the man had been saved, but sin and the old habits begin to creep back into his life. And one day he determined, I'm sick of this. I've got to put that behind me. The Lord forgave me. He saved me. I don't want to go back to that. And he began to fast. He began to pray. He began to seek the face of the Lord again. He began begging for victory, begging for deliverance. And like the Syrophoenician woman, he would not be denied. And as a beggar, he came before the Lord, said, God, I need you. I need that joy again. I need that presence again in my life. And the Lord worked deliverance in his heart. And somebody needs to do that this morning. Somebody that ought to exercise faith for service today. I was thinking about praying Johnny. God called him to Oxby, Scotland. It was a rough fishing community. Many preachers had gone before him and failed. But he was so certain God had called him to this community. He began to make his way toward that community as he came to a hill that overlooked that community. He suddenly realized his inability, a sense that he was inadequate. There was a bridge that under the road, he made his way under that bridge, began to cry out to God, and hours he spent there, pled with God. Lord, I need you. You've called me to this place. I can't do it on my own. And as he prayed there for hours, he had the sense of Christ's presence. And he felt the Lord just said, Johnny, I'm with you. You go forward. And he made his way to that city and commenced to preach. And God worked a miracle of salvation in the hearts and lives of many. that's similar to the woman received a blank check. There's somebody here today, you've got a burden for another, for a daughter, for a son, a grandson, granddaughter, mother, father. You got a deep burden. You cry out like this woman, Lord, have mercy on me. It's your burden. Your loved one, but you carry that load, that burden. Lord, have mercy on me this morning. My daughter is grievously vexed. Would you bring that burden to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? This woman had great faith because of the object of her faith. It's the Lord Jesus. She had overcoming faith, and the obstacles of her faith did not stop her. And she obtained what she came to the Lord for. What is your load, your burden this morning? Maybe it's a loved one, a fellow church member. There's power in the prayer of faith. And the Bible tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to just close this morning with this thought. The Lord knows your burden, your need. And he has passed thence today. He's here. And he came here specifically for you and for your need today. And he knows that need. And can I challenge you today to bring that need to a big God this morning? With every head bowed and every eye.